everyone. Thank you for joining us tonight at Freedom's Way. We are delighted to have you here. Pardon me. If you have joined this meeting from a digital source, our website or podcast or whatever, please understand we're on a live teleconference call. That means there'll be people calling in from all over the place. We're going to give them about 3 to 5 minutes to get here. And anytime, you digital listeners, anytime you want to join us on our messages, they are held every Monday and Friday night at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You would dial 605-475-2090 and enter your access code, which is 373-363-pound. You can also find these messages on our website, freedomswayministries.com, and they are up to date. I checked just today, so praise the Lord. While we're waiting for others to dial in, if you would like, those of you who are already here, if you'd like to say hello, now's a good time. So, if you want to say hello, let's see who that is.
Hello, hello.
Hello, hello. Sounds like Claudia.
It is.
All right. Welcome.
Thank you.
Hi, Miss Claudia. Hi, Miss Vicky. I made it as old Mitch out here.
Hey, Mitch.
Thanks for having me.
Praise the Lord.
Hey, Mitch.
Thank you for your faithfulness.
You down. I know I'm a nosy guy.
Okay.
Hello, everyone, from Steve and Cindy.
Praise the Lord. Thanks for being here. Anybody else so far?
Yes, me. Little Pastor Vicky
Larry?
Scott. No, Scott.
Scott. Scott. Praise the Lord.
Yes, how are you?
Made it.
Yeah.
Good. Hope all is going
Hello.
Well with you.
Yeah, pretty
Hi.
Good.
Hi. Who is that?
It's Marie.
Hi, Marie. Scott, I hope everything is going well with your move.
Yeah.
Good. Good, good. Get plugged in. Pardon me. Hello, hello. Say hello.
Hi, it's Renee in California.
Ah, Renee. God bless you. I'm glad you made it.
Thank you. God bless you all.
Hi, Renee.
Hi.
We are coast to coast with the Holy Ghost now. Hallelujah.
Amen.
From Florida to California and points in between. Kentucky's in the house. Montana's in the house. Who else? Anybody else want to say hello before we mute your phones? Okay. Well, I'm going to go ahead then and mute your telephones. Those that are late can just come in as they will. And we'll get started. Hold on.
Hallelujah. And welcome to our Monday night teaching. My name is Phil Burdett, and I'm here with my wife, Vicky. And we represent Freedom's Way Ministries. And this is our Monday night teaching, which is going to be awesome and is going to bless you in an amazing way. It's in a series we're having now called Putting the Devil Under Your Feet. And this is actually part five of this message. It's about controlling your thoughts and breaking ungodly patterns of thinking. Powerful message. You are going to be blessed. So welcome again, and I'm going to go ahead and get us started by praying this us into this message. And we are going, and so I always say, buckle your seatbelts. You just hold on. And here we go. Thank you, Father God, for the anointing on your word. Thank you, Lord, that you are good. We worship you this day from the bottom of our hearts. Lord, it's all about you. And thank you for this revelation here. It's going to bless your people and help them grow up to be more like you. Thank you, Lord, that you have brought us a message for such a time as this that will bless your people, strengthen them in their walk, and giving them a way and a method to hear from you and to enjoy all the benefits of the kingdom as you have ordained them to receive. So thank you again, Lord. We say, Holy Spirit, have your way. And in the name of Jesus, we turn aside any unclean spirit that would try to disrupt or blunt this message in any way in God's people. We say, you get behind us, Satan. Holy Spirit, have your way in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Our mission with these messages and with our personal counseling to you and on our website is to help you come into your true, full identity in Christ so that you can move forward and advance in God's kingdom. So as Phil said, this is a part of our series, Putting the Devil Under Your Feet. A series about putting the devil under your feet would not be effective without a teaching about our thought life. We've already established through the first four parts of this, and if you missed any of them, you can send me a text at 904-993-2876. I will send you a link, or you can go on our website and catch up. But we have already established the foundation of spirit world realities, where sin comes from and why. We've given a glimpse into who we are created to be. We've also gotten rid of blinders of tradition and the sin of familiarity that keeps us from progressing in life and hinders us in advancing God's kingdom in the earth. Tonight's message furthers our abilities to overcome by recognizing where thoughts come from and who controls them. It will also address a few of the ungodly patterns that religion has set up in our thinking. Many of you already have this understanding, but we all need to become more aware of it in order to stay out of the snare of Satan. So this is going to be a good reminder and a refresher for those of you who have heard it. You're sure to hear something in a different way tonight so you can help others as well as yourself to come into that identity that is your true self. Now, last week we showed that after Adam disobeyed God, he heard voices other than God's voice inside of his head. He had thoughts that had not come from his own experiences. And God pointed this out to Adam. He asked Adam, "Who told you you were naked?" Now, this leads to the obvious conclusion that all thoughts are not our own. Who told you? It's not okay to have a who. Oaks. Thoughts come from three sources. First of all, we can generate our own thoughts and ideas through our own experiences, what we see and hear and touch and taste and smell, the five senses of our physical being. This would encompass education, environment, things of that nature. The thoughts that are generated in the sense realm.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Secondly, we can receive thoughts and ideas from the Holy Spirit of God, our Father, and the Lord, Jesus Christ. Thirdly, we can receive thoughts and ideas from Satan and his demons. These two areas make up spiritual communication. We find a great example in Matthew 16 of all three sources of thought demonstrated in one short span of time. This is the account of Jesus talking with his disciples as they are walking along. And you will find that in Matthew 16, verses 13 to 23. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that you are John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." And he said unto them, "But whom do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto you, but my Father which is in heaven." There's a thought from heaven. "And I say also unto you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, "Be it far from you, Lord, this shall not be unto you." He's rebuking the Lord. That thought did not come from heaven. But he turned and said unto Peter, "Get ye behind me, Satan, you are an offense unto me." He's saying clearly where it came from. "For you savor not the things that be of God, but those that be of men."
Amen. Hallelujah. Same guy. Recognizes him as Lord and then said, "No." Oh. So in this passage of Scripture, we see all three places where thoughts come from, and all of them occurring in the space of, I don't know, what was probably not more than 15 or 20 minutes walking along from one place to the next. So the first place revealed was that of thoughts generated by the natural mind from our physical senses. We heard out here in the world, we heard that you're a prophet. That was the natural response of man's reasoning. Men say, "You're John or Elijah." And next, we're made aware of the second source, God himself. Peter heard from the Holy Spirit, "You are the Son of the living God." And third, thoughts from the enemy who opposes God and his plan bring forth from us, "No, we won't allow these things to happen to you, Jesus. Don't say that. Don't say these things."
Thank you, Lord.
The devil will always attempt to steer us away from God's plan and purpose. It's interesting to note that both these spiritual communications were picked up and spoken out by the same person, Peter. Peter, who had just recognized Jesus for who he is, suddenly opposes him. The same one who had the revelation denied it a few minutes later. Now, most of us understand how the five senses help us make decisions and determinations in the world. So natural worldly communication and human reasoning are normal to us. But how does spiritual communication come into our minds? Science has identified a brainwave. It seems to have no purpose or usefulness that they can see. It's called the theta, T-H-E-T-A, brainwave. It goes from your brain to your belly, but it doesn't do anything that science can identify. It doesn't make us hungry. It doesn't involve itself in our motor skills or in involuntary actions like breathing and the functions of our internal organs. This brainwave is just, it's just there. Just there.
Well, we maintain that this brainwave is in us to pick up spiritual communication. It connects the spirit to the mind. The world recognizes this sixth sense and calls it intuition. But it's when you just get a feeling about someone or some place. The pathway for spiritual thought to your physical brain travels from your innermost part, or reins, or bowels of mercy, as the Bible puts it, along the theta brain wave. Spirit communicates with spirit at spirit level, but the spiritual thought must be accepted or rejected in your mind.
Amen. Amen.
So again, where do these spiritual thoughts come from? I believe we all agree that when God speaks to us, we don't normally hear an audible voice in our ear. The Holy Spirit gives us a knowing inside. Neither do evil spirits speak to us audibly. The thought first comes to your middle, and when it gets to your mind, you have the option of accepting or rejecting it.
That's amazing.
2 Corinthians 10:5 says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ.
Wow. I hope you're getting a picture. When we yield ourselves to the temptations and influences of Satan, we allow ourselves to become instruments of unrighteousness. Being used as instruments of unrighteousness, we commit sins for which we are clearly held responsible. The sin that was committed by the evil spirit rising up and manifesting through us then becomes our sin. We're now responsible to repent for both the sin and for our acceptance of the spirit behind it, so that that spirit can be cast out. Hallelujah. We found it's so much simpler to recognize the thought as not our own and cast it down. It is so much simpler to do that than to cast out the devil behind the thought. When we participate with the sin, we allow it to control us rather than doing as we have been instructed to do from the beginning, to rule over sin. We went through this a week or so ago. Genesis 4:7. If you do well, that means if you agree with me, said God. If you do well, shall you not be accepted? If you do not well, sin lies at the door. And unto you shall be his desire, and you shall rule over him. We were told to rule over sin. Romans 6, verse 12 to 16. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body. There's a choice. Don't let it. That you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield you your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness.
The battlefield is indeed the mind, but the attack doesn't come from the inside, from the outside. Amen. Jesus said the evil is within us. Both Matthew and Mark reported his words. Matthew 15:19. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. Mark 7:21-23 records the same. For from within, out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All of these evil things come from within and defile the man. For out of the heart, out of, from within, not into from the outside, but out of from the inside.
Amen.
The evil within us is the evil nature of Satan, spirits on assignment, which we allow to operate because of our ignorance. Our lack of knowledge has made us prey to the counterfeit that teaches us the evil nature belongs to us, that it's our old man. The other thing that causes us to accept this kind of self-defeating belief system is pride. Pride causes us to think we're so smart and so close to God that I can't be fooled like that, or I don't listen to the devil and that type of thing. Jesus said in Revelation chapter 3, you think you're rich and don't need anything, when in fact you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. And if you think that you hear from God better than Peter, then you are in pride. Hallelujah.
Yeah. Hallelujah. You know, self-focused pride, as well as lack of knowledge. Pardon me. These things combine. Self-focused pride and lack of knowledge, they combine to make for miserable Christians who cannot overcome in some area of their lives because they are fighting themselves and not their true enemy. They end up in an endless cycle, repent, receive forgiveness, but the problem never seems to go away. We showed last week how Paul the Apostle told us in Romans chapter 7 that sin dwells within us. But it is not who we are. He repeatedly declared, it's not me. Have you ever wondered why you said some of the things you said when you didn't even mean it? You didn't mean to say that. It just came out of your mouth. If so, then it's time to recognize all faults are not your own. Paul said, there's something in me that doesn't belong there and that makes me commit sin, but it's not me. That's basically what he said. He recognized the enemy within. He saw in himself evil attributes from an evil nature that was not his. He wrote, I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. And he separated himself from it in the power of the blood of Jesus. He said, who will deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
When you first asked Jesus to come into your life, did he tell you to clean up your heart first?
No.
No, absolutely not. He came
in.
He
didn't tell me to quit smoking.
Well, that's true. He came in, and by his Holy Spirit began showing you areas of your life that were not pleasing to him. Neither were they beneficial to you. In his first letter to the saints in Corinth, Paul wrote, 1 Corinthians 6, verse 12, all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any.
Thank you, Lord, for that word.
He was telling the church that even though Jesus had fulfilled the law, borne their sins, and put the devil and his demons to an open shame, sin could still entrap them. Paul told us there is a responsibility attached to the righteousness we have the opportunity to appropriate into our lives. Continuing to allow sin to have its way in you is not good for you. There is no profit in it. It's not a positive.
Imagine that. And for those of you who are wondering, I did quit smoking.
Hallelujah.
Not right away, but I did. Generally speaking, the church is quite good at weakening the body of Christ by trapping people in their sins and creating confusion. Ooh, explain that one. Okay. One way they do this is by telling new Christians they're completely free. Now that you've accepted Jesus, you're free. You're free. Many say, and there are some denominations that tell you this, that you are instantly healed and you are delivered from your sins. But I think most of us on this line know better than that. You know, there are so many out there that say, oh, you're free, brother. You're a brand new creature. Well, you know, there is a truth to that, but it's not the whole truth. If that were the whole truth, you would not have any struggles in your life.
Right.
You know there's something in your heart that shouldn't be there. You know you were not automatically walking in love toward every person in your life. You probably didn't instantly lose your appetite for immorality or cigarettes or alcohol or gluttony or whatever addiction you entertained. It was still a part of what you were doing, and only now you were really ashamed of it and you were hiding it. And I remember Joyce Meyer's testimony of before she'd go into a meeting to preach, she'd hide in her car and get down in the floorboard and smoke a cigarette. Oh, help us, Lord. You know, often people who still struggle with some kind of sin, they're going to withdraw. They board up rooms of their hearts so other people won't know they're there. And they end up trapping the dirt and the smell inside instead of sweeping it out.
Wow.
It becomes a continual strain to hide and to keep evil in check. We want you to realize that we do have authority, not we, me, and Phil, but we as Christians, you too. We all have authority over every source of sin. We have complete and total authority. God gave us a will. Our soul is the only thing that truly belongs to us. We get to choose. We get to choose what we allow to come into our lives and what we don't. We get to choose what we think and how we think. We get to choose how we feel, whether or not we'll be joyful or miserable. We get to choose what we desire. Now, if you do not believe me when I say that, go and read Psalm 119, verse 109.
Amen. We have God and we have an enemy. The evil we do doesn't originate with us or belong to us. It is the manifestation of an evil spirit working from within our hearts. Neither does the good we do originate with us. It is a product of the Holy Spirit of God working from within our hearts.
You may not just do it.
No, we choose it. Which, yeah, you did it. But we choose it. God, good doesn't. But we choose to.
Yeah, we choose to cooperate.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That was in the script. I mean, good doesn't belong to us, but we can make it ours by an act of our will. Sin doesn't belong to us, but we can choose it. To participate with the evil spirit, we can make the sin ours. We choose it either through ignorance or willful disobedience. The choice starts with identifying the thought and where it came from. Remember two things. First of all, if the thought you examine is not love, truth, or humility, then it isn't from God. Secondly, if it isn't from God, it doesn't matter if it came from your own warped pattern of thinking and behavior or from hell itself. You don't need it. Cast it down. Do not accept it. Do not agree with it, and do not entertain it.
Does that remind you of your grandfather?
It does.
You don't need it.
That's right. You don't need it. You don't need it. All right. We just mentioned a warped pattern of thinking or behavior. Let's explore this and break the patterns of religion and self-righteousness that caused many of our problems and issues. There are certain things that have been pounded into many of us who grew up in the church. I wasn't one of them.
Because you didn't grow up in the church.
That's right. So other things were pounded into me. But anyway, we'll move on. I call it the religious concepts list. And each of these beliefs opens the door to a religious spirit that will keep us in bondage and misery. We want to take you through this list and point out the errors that create a breach in our relationship with the living God and keep us stuck in performance-oriented behaviors and subject to all sorts of sins.
Hallelujah. And we've identified seven. There are probably many more. But we're going to give you seven belief statements. The first one, do you think you're just an old sinner saved by grace? Ooh, ouch. Let me tell you, that was only true until your encounter with the Lord Jesus. On the day that you recognize him as your Savior and Lord, seeing him as resurrected and confessing his death and resurrection on your behalf, you stepped away from being a sinner. When you invited Jesus to come into your heart and live in you, guiding and protecting you, loving and correcting you, you were changed. You are no longer a sinner. Colossians 1, verse 12 to 14. Giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be, that's good to be, partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Hallelujah. You're not a sinner, you're a saint.
Praise the Lord. I'll take that. Number two, do you think you can never attain to righteousness? Well, this belief causes major confusion in Christians because the truth is that once you are born again, you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. It is not what you do, it's what you are. He is the only true righteousness. So any righteousness outside of Jesus is nothing more than filthy rags. Perhaps the confusion comes from defining righteousness and holiness as being the same. They are not. Think of it this way. Righteousness is God's gift to you. Holiness is your gift to God. Holiness has to do with sanctifying yourself, cleansing yourself from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, and setting yourself apart to his purposes, not your own. Your works, both actions and attitudes, cannot and will never make you righteous, but they do reveal the degree of your holiness. Jesus Christ is not the only one who can be holy, but apart from Jesus Christ, there is no true righteousness, none. Isaiah 64:6 says, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are filthy rags. And we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. They knew it in the Old Testament. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he has made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
You are the righteousness of God. Third statement, or question, I should say. Do you think it's God's will for you to be sick, or that God made you sick for his purpose? Oh, help us, Lord. This pattern of thinking sparks anger in those of us who know it isn't true, because it keeps so many of God's people defeated and in despair. It comes from a belief that what I see in my own life is the only truth, that God's word must not be true if it isn't true for me. Sounds like pride, doesn't it? We see good people, godly people, get sick, and some of them even die. So we begin to believe that God doesn't heal everyone. We know someone who was godly, who was in a terrible accident and was killed. So we start thinking that God doesn't protect everyone. But that's not what the word teaches. No one who came to Jesus was turned away. When the leper said, I know you can heal me if you will, Jesus answered, I will. You know, there is no place in the word where God says, I won't. I've looked and I can't find it. God himself said that he himself is the God who heals. Job tells us God does not afflict. And there are literally hundreds of scriptures that confirm God heals all, everyone, and that he is not a respecter of persons. Also consider this. The Lord can't give you something he doesn't have. And there's no sickness, disease, or deformity in him. Jesus took it all at the whipping post and on the cross so that you don't have to have it. It is already done. Now, we can't give you all the scriptures on healing. We taught weeks and weeks and weeks on God's will to heal. But here are a few. Exodus 15:26, and said, if you will diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord your God and will do that which is right in his sight and will give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases on you, which I brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that heals you. He was a healer even in the Old Testament. Job 37:23, touching the Almighty, we cannot find him out. He is excellent in power and in judgment and in plenty of justice. He will not afflict. Psalm 103:2-3, bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases. Matthew 8:16-17. When the evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils. He cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. And 1 Peter 2:24, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Number four, do you think you're supposed to struggle through life, or that struggling and suffering shows that you're a good Christian? I used to think that. This is a common belief because the word says we are to partake of Christ's sufferings. We don't seem to realize the things we struggle with don't fall into the category of suffering. Our focus is on ourselves and what we don't have or what we can't do, rather than on the point of suffering persecution. Let me say that differently. Rather than on the point of suffering persecution for righteousness' sake, the Lord desires that we prosper in every area and aspect of our lives. He says so in John 10:10. The thief comes not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly. And 3 John 1:2 says, beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers.
Amen. Hallelujah. The fifth warped view. Do you think you have no real power to change your circumstances, to overcome your problems, or to walk in victory and health? Help us, Lord. It's tragic that Christians refuse to tap into the power of God because they're hindered by this mindset. Jesus died not only to free us from sin, but to empower us to cleanse ourselves and others from sin, sickness, poverty, and yes, even death. He sent his Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead, to indwell each one of us. He gave his disciples power to tread on serpents and scorpions. He handed over the authority of heaven to us who believe, so that we can accomplish the same things and greater than he did. Luke 10:19, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. 2 Corinthians 7:1, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. John 14:12, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Matthew 28:18-20, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go you, therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. What did he command us? Mark 16:17-18. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. And in Matthew 10:8, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you've received, freely give. We have power.
Hallelujah. Gotta like that. And number six, do you think there's something wrong with you because you're still stuck in the past? Well, this is a common belief because this in one area is one area where Satan is very busy. The devil knows if he can keep you focused on your past, you will be out of the presence of God. Remember what you learned in our study of the Lord's Prayer. God's name is I Am, meaning he is always in the present, not the past. The Lord is moving on. There's nothing wrong with you, but you do need to make the decision to live in the present with the Lord and not in the past without him.
Ooh,
sounds easy, doesn't it?
That again.
There's nothing wrong with you, but you do need to make the decision to live in the present with the Lord and not in the past without him.
Hallelujah. That's powerful.
Identify spirits of trauma or fear or rejection or anger, spirits of resentment or unforgiveness or accusation or envy, and other evil things that you have agreed with, and get them out of your life. Recognize spirits you have allowed into your emotions and your mindset, such as self-rejection, self-hatred, and other antichrist unloving spirits. You have control. The devil is not in control. You are not in the past. There is nothing about the past that can change. Nothing. Forgive others. Forgive yourself. Live and move on. Hallelujah. Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Philippians 3:13-14. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. None of us are ahead of that. But this one thing I do, forgetting these things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Come out of the tombs. Come out of the tombs, the dead things of the past. Hallelujah. And our final one that we're going to explore tonight, this warped concept. Do you question your salvation because you still have the same thoughts that you had before, or you're still doing the same things? Many Christians were taught to believe they aren't really saved if they still have the same issues that they had before. But once again, when you asked Jesus into your heart, he didn't tell you to clean it up first. He is the one who does that by his Holy Spirit. He who begins a good work in you, let him do it.
Yeah.
You can never perfect yourself. You can only cooperate with what the Lord is doing. Obey what he is saying and follow his word. Being born again is not the finish line. We don't sit down and do nothing at that point. Oh, yay, I'm going to heaven one day. Uh-uh. It's the starting point. And we are to run the race with confidence. You're not going to run the race with confidence if you are unsure of your salvation. Instead, you're going to be thrown into a works mentality, a performance-oriented behavior, a self-righteous attitude. You're going to be striving to live for God to prove your value when he wants you to live from him.
No.
Knowing that you are valued. He is the one who changes you. And he does it from the inside out, not the outside in. Once you are born again, your spirit is forever sealed to God. Your soul begins the process of being perfected, and your body will be perfected in the resurrection. And I'm going to ask Phil to read the scriptures that put this doubt of salvation to rest.
Amen.
There are many more, but...
John 3, 6 through 7, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again. Hebrews 12 and 1, wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Wow. I was just thinking this morning about how many people I hear in different witnesses, and we are encompassed about with so many witnesses. It is absolutely mind-boggling. Philippians 1 and 6, being confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ.
I just want to say the day of Jesus Christ is the day when Jesus is fully formed in you.
Hallelujah. Hebrews 10 and 35, cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. Okay, it says it. Knowing that these seven mindsets do not come from God and do not agree with his word, will you help us put the devil under our feet? Religious thinking ruins relationship with the Lord. It keeps us from intimacy and trust he desires for us to have with him. So let's get rid of some of the warped thinking we have been taught and simply enter into the rest of God.
Okay.
Hallelujah.
All right, let's pray. We pray out loud. I suggest that you pray out loud. I'm going to lead you through this prayer. If you want to seal these words, if you want to get rid of that thinking, pray with me. Father, we thank you.
Father, we thank you.
For these insights into the spirit of your word.
For these insights into the spirit of your word.
I want to know your heart in all things, Lord.
I want to know your heart in all things, Lord.
Thank you for showing me.
Thank you for showing me.
That all thoughts are not my own.
That all thoughts are not my own.
And help me clearly discern those that do not come from you.
Help me clearly discern those that do not come from you.
So that I will be thinking with the mind of Christ.
So that I will be thinking with the mind. Right.
That mind that you've put within me. Agreeing with you in all things.
Agreeing with you all things.
Lord, I want to fully cooperate with you.
Lord, I want
to clean up my heart.
Clean up my heart.
To be completely consecrated and set apart to you.
Be completely consecrated, set apart to you.
Holy. Unto you, Lord.
Holy.
Forgive me for falling into agreement.
Forgive me for falling into agreement.
With warped views of myself and you.
With warped views of myself and you.
I am told, Father, even presently, that I am a sinner.
I am told, Father, even presently, that I am a sinner.
When you have called me a saint.
When you called me a saint.
I receive your calling, Lord.
I receive your calling, Lord.
And not the word of religion and condemnation.
And not the word of religion and condemnation.
I break agreement with the lie that I'm a sinner.
Break agreement with the lie that I'm a sinner.
Or that I cannot attain to righteousness.
That I cannot attain to righteousness.
When I already have it, because I have Jesus living in me.
And I already have it, because I have Jesus living within me.
Forgive me, Lord, for believing you don't heal.
Forgive me, Lord, for believing that you don't heal.
Or that you cause illness and infirmities.
You cause illness or
infirmity.
When your word clearly tells me that's not true.
Clearly tells me that is not true.
I break agreement with that lie. And also with the lie that says I don't have power to change circumstances.
And also with the lie that tells me I don't have power to change circumstances.
Or walk in victory and health. Forgive me, Father, for focusing on the past. And for allowing the past to defile me. And hinder me from moving into what you have for me. Gently remind me, Lord. When my thoughts drift in that direction. And the enemy is attempting to draw me off course. Help me redirect my thoughts to you, Father. Thank you that when I accepted the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. I am saved. Forever preserved unto you. Forgive me for doubting that what you have done in me. Is true and lasting. And cannot be taken from me. Help me work with you, Lord. As you perfect me by your Holy Spirit. I break agreement with the lie that my past in any way controls my present. Or my future. The lie that evil spirit that tells me. You're angry with me. And you'll take away my place in heaven. Forgive me for believing that, Lord. I declare that the blood of Jesus is all powerful. And it is effective to free me. From these ungodly religious beliefs. And restore me to righteous. Restore me to relationship with you.
Father.
In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. I take the sword of the Spirit of God and I sever every generational cord of iniquity, every evil soul tie. I stand in the gap and I forgive all religious people that have taught you wrong, that have caused you to believe wrong things about yourself or God. I release them into the hand of the Lord and I ask mercy and truth and blessings on them in the name of Jesus. Any of these things that have attached itself to you because of generational iniquity or cords of evil soul ties or wrong teaching, I send those things back in the spirit now. And I take back for you every godly thing you were meant to have. And I cast out every lie of hell that would say you're a sinner, that you can't attain to righteousness, that God doesn't heal, that he causes illness, infirmity. I speak to that evil spirit behind the lie that says you don't have power to change your circumstances, walk in victory and help. I stand against and speak to that spirit of defilement from the past, doubt and unbelief, and any lie that the past has power over you. To draw you back, to keep you down, to prevent you from moving forward. Lord, I cast out every lying devil that would exalt itself against the knowledge of you. In the name of Jesus, I send those things to the pit, that burning coals fall on them and they cannot rise again. In the name of Jesus, come up and out from every cell in their bodies, every thought in their mind, every emotion in their heart. Loose them and let them go. And Father, I thank you that you fill your people now with your truth. From the top of our heads to the soles of our feet. Truth, mercy, grace, peace, every fruit of your Holy Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, faith, gentleness, goodness, meekness, self-control. Fill us up, Lord. Help us know you better, because we can see truth. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Ooh, take a breath. I need one. Ooh, praise God. If you have a comment or a question tonight, please push the *6 keys on your telephone keypad. That will unmute your phone. If you would like to tell me that you are here or were here through it or whatever, that would be good too. Comments or questions? Wow. Wow. We just kicked over some sacred cows. I guess we might as well have a barbecue.
Oh, thank you, Vicki and Phil. What a way to end the day. Oh, it was wonderful. Thank you.
God bless you, Claudia.
God bless
you. You're
welcome. Nice.
And Renee here. I finally unmuted my phone. God bless you both. I've been so blessed by tonight's transmission, by ministry.
Thank you. God bless you.
Yes, hallelujah.
Woo. We've been missing talking to you, girl.
Yeah, you know, and I was just talking with God going, okay, so I let something keep me away. Busyness. And I'm sure I could come up with an excuse, but it was really about my faith, that I don't have to run around doing before I'm able to do something else, because I have an appointment with God, and I think that you two are part of it.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. We are very glad to have you here.
Thank you so much. I feel so welcome here.
You are always. Always, Renee.
Oh, amen. Hallelujah.
If you have missed any of these, we started this at the beginning of the year. So if you go on the website, and January the 2nd of this year was our first meeting of putting the devil under your feet. So you can catch up with all the other stuff we did.
Yes, that's perfect.
And I know that you will also be interested in this. In December, I think it was the 5th, the 12th, and the 19th of last year, we did a teaching on the 5 minds of man.
Yes, I would be.
I'll check it out. Yeah, that kind of, when you came on, I said, she would love to listen to that. So It's there.
And your website is becoming fuller and lovely. Very usable. Very. Yes, we have a ministry through that. Good.
Yes, I thank you so much because we've been working at it, trying to get it a little more user friendly, and
it is.
So thank you. Thank you. I'm glad you noticed. Hallelujah. Okay. But all of those are under audio teachings.
Got it.
Anybody else have a comment or question?
Yes, yes. Thank you, brother and sister. Such a blessing tonight. The bread was delicious. I'm full, and I had an appointment with God tonight too. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, brother
Amen.
And sister.
Thank you, Mitch.
Amen. Yeah, that was a good saying she used there. That was great. Appointment setting. That was good. All right. Thank you, brother and sister.
Right. Rejoice.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Rejoice.
Okay. Any other comments before Pastor Phil blesses us? All right. I'm going to turn it over to you, babe.
Hallelujah. Well, we thank you, Lord, for speaking to our hearts. We thank you, Lord. We honor you. We bow our knee to you, Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ. You are good. Thank you that your mercy endures forever. Hallelujah. Thank you for your word. I ask you that you seal it in our heart. And help us to continue to grow in you, Lord, in every way. Thank you, Lord, for blessing us with the benefits of kingdom living. Hallelujah. And as Aaron the high priest blessed the children of Israel, I'm going to bless you with the Aaronic benediction from Numbers, the 6th chapter. God bless you as you receive. I'm going to do this in Hebrew and in English. Hallelujah. Yivarechach Adonai ve'yishmarecha Yisa Adonai panav elecha ifunecha Yisa Adonai panav elecha v'yashem lecha shalom. And may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift his face unto you and be gracious unto you. And may the Lord lift his countenance unto you and give you peace, give you shalom. And I add in Yeshem Yeshua, in the name of Jesus, who is our Sar Shalom, our Prince of Peace. Lord, you are all blessing, and we appreciate you in every way. We ask you to seal this in the hearts of your people, encamp your angels around them, give them a glorious God-filled week, and bring them back on Friday or in the morning at 8:30, Lord. Or I should say, 7:15, I'm sorry. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness.
Yeah, 7:15 in the morning.
Thank you, Lord. We give you, amen. And we give you honor and glory, Father, in the name of Jesus. Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Sorry for missing you.
Praise the Lord. God knows. We love you all. Have a great week. We will be back here in the morning, 7:15, for the King's Table. This message will be presented on Friday again at 8:30. Good night, y'all.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night, everybody. Good night.
Good night. Bye.